The Lord be with you.
With your
spirit. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Reclining at table with his disciples, Jesus was deeply troubled and testified, "Amen, amen, I say to you, one of you will betray me." The disciples looked at one another at a loss as to whom he meant. One of his disciples, the one whom Jesus loved, was reclining at Jesus' side. So Simon Peter nodded to him to find out whom he meant. He leaned back against Jesus' chest and said to him, "Master, who is it?" Jesus answered, "It is the one to whom I hand the morsel after I have dipped it." So he dipped the morsel and took it and handed it to Judas, son of Simon the Iscariot. After Judas took the morsel, Satan entered him. So Jesus said to him, "What are you going to do? Do quickly." Now none of those reclining at table realized why he said this to him. Some thought that since Judas kept the money bag, Jesus had told him, "Buy what we need for the feast or to give something to the poor." So Judas took the morsel and left at once, and it was night. When he had left, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and he will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little while longer. You will look for me, and as I told the Jews, where I go, you cannot come. So now I say it to you." Simon Peter said to him, "Master, where are you going?" Jesus answered him, "Where I am going, you cannot follow me now, though you will follow later." Peter said to him, "Master, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for you." Jesus answered, "Will you lay down your life for me? Amen, amen, I say to you, the cock will not crow before you deny me three times." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
As we continue to journey into this holiest of days of our salvation history, we are ushered into these readings of the gospel, which seems to look darker and darker. Here we see this episode now at the Last Supper, and everyone is gathered around the table of the Lord and his friends, and I would imagine the Blessed Mother was there and the family members, and Jesus is looking now to his passion that's going to happen the following day. And he was surrounded by friends. But then in our reading today, there's a lot of sadness. There's a lot of bitterness that is happening. What was once a promising ministry for his followers now appeared to be a ministry that is destined to be doomed. This interesting note here of John, when Judas left, it says, "And it was night." You see, when you read the Gospel of John, when John speaks of night or darkness, he's really underlining a spiritual reality, that there's a great uncertainty and a foreboding that's going to happen. And we see that here. And Jesus spoke of his passion and of his death. And I could just imagine the hearts of those who are hearing these words at the Last Supper. He says, "I thought we're going to rule over the 12 tribes of Israel. I thought you're going to bring us the kingdom that we're yearning for ages. I thought you were the one who will save us from our oppression. Those must be the words that they hear at the back of their mind. In the first reading, the prophet Isaiah sort of prophesy the event of that night. He says, "Though I thought I had toiled in vain, and for nothing uselessly spent my strength." On that night, when they were gathering for the last time, it seems like all of their wishes and all of their dreams are being shattered before their very eyes, before their very presence. What happens to those promises? And I think to those of us who are listening to this proclamation, to the first reading from Isaiah and to the reading from John, I think our minds are already racing to the conclusion of this story. I remember Father Ricky when the Passion of the Lord came out, and everybody was crying, you know, when they see the Passion being played out. And Father Ricky would say, "Well, you know the end. You know the end. You know it will end in victory. You know." But I think in these days, let's not race to the end. Let us accompany the Lord in the darkness of it all, because we are a people conditioned to come up with solutions right away. We hear this in our prayers. You know, "Lord, I've been diagnosed with cancer. I want you to heal me now. Remove this cancer from my body so that I can be whole." You know, "Lord, my relationship has been shattered. You know, my loved one left me. The person that I love had died, Lord, and I don't know what to do. Grant me consolation, Lord. Grant me someone, something to lift me up of this depression." Those are wonderful prayers, let me tell you. But today, in these days, as we moved into Good Friday and even Holy Saturday, why not for a change embrace our darkness as the Lord Himself embraced the darkness? Why not for a change name what it is that break our hearts? Why not for a change name our failure and hold it before the Lord and says, "Lord, this is where I am. I enter the darkness of Calvary with you to accompany you." That kind of prayer is redolent with faith, because we know that the story of Calvary ends in resurrection. But in the meantime, in these last days of our celebration of Lent, we hold these, our wounds. We carry these, our crosses. And certainly they are bitter. And certainly they can be dark. But do not be afraid, because the Lord goes before us. And we carry these with Him. And wherever the Lord is, there will be joy. There is joy. Even in our brokenness, even in our failures. For the fact that He went through this darkness means that these things He has already consecrated, and these things are holy. Let this be our prayer. Let's name our bitterness. Let's name our darkness. Let's name our wounds and pick up these crosses and hurry on to Calvary to meet the Lord and walk with Him.